one and all to the Glorious Movies Cast, the most glorious movie podcast out there. On today's 52nd episode, we are discussing a crap ton of Marvel / Fox News and the Stranger Things Season 2 finale trailer. Final trailer, should I say, not finale. Final trailer, plus much more. I am the Glorious One, Mr. Moody, and joining me as always is the Tom Cruise enthusiast, the glorious red-bearded man, Foxes. How has your weekend been?
So that's what's so funny is that I had an weekend. Like, it was okay. It was just a so-so. I mean, there were some bits of it that it was aggravating. There were some bits that were good. And when I told you that earlier, you were like, "Hey, are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, why?" You're like, "Cause, you know, you had a so-so weekend." I was like, "Yeah, I'm perfectly fine, but my weekend was eh." How was your weekend, Moody?
My weekend's been all right. Saw a few films, caught up on some TV that I wanted to catch up on. I've got three games and I've only played one, but I've played a shit ton of it.
What three games you been playing?
Well, I've only played one
game.
Right now I have Evil Within 2. Mm-hmm. I have Shadow of War mod, or Shadow of War, Middle Earth Shadow of War, the sequel to Shadow of Mordor, mm-hmm. and F1 2017, which everyone knows I'm a huge F1 fan.
And you've only game been I'm playing F1 2017.
Spot on. That's the only one I've been playing. The good thing is that, and so the most funny thing is tomorrow or Wednesday, hopefully tomorrow, because I've got the dispatch email from them, I should receive mm-hmm. South Park The Fractured Butthole tomorrow.
Nice!
So I'm going to have four games. Thankfully, I've got now 10 days to play, to complete them all. At least complete the Evil Within 2, Shadow of War, and South Park before I need to send at least two of them back so I can get Assassin's Creed Origins and Wolfenstein 2 and the New Colossus by the 27th of the month. So a week Friday. So I've got like 10 days. So that's not bad. That's not bad at all. So I'm going to plow through into them. Like I said, saw a couple of movies, well, three movies, or four technically, but I've already reviewed that one, so I'm not going to talk about that one. But three movies that I am going to be reviewing on the podcast right here in a short while. Like I said to you, I think on the last episode or two episodes ago, I've been really enjoying Star Trek Discovery. It is really, really good. I've just watched another episode today. I haven't watched the fifth one yet, what just dropped today. I caught up on the fourth one, but oh, it's just so, so good. It's so well done.
If you had to compare it to something either you've seen before or kind of, I mean, no, you can never compare something completely to something else. Like, you know, I'm not saying like, is Star Trek like the first movie anything like Star Trek Discovery? Because, you know, maybe it's completely two different storylines. I would have no clue. But if there was something that you had to compare it to that's just as good, what would you compare it to? So that way I could be like, oh, okay, I see what you mean.
I would have to think about that I'll think about it throughout the podcast and whatnot I'd have to think about that. But it is very good. We reviewed, even though this is a movie podcast, we reviewed the first trailer on the podcast, and we both said the trailer looked garbage. It did not look good whatsoever.
It didn't.
It looked terrible, and everybody was like, "Beep, beep, beep, red alert!" Literally to red alert. Pardon the pun there. Straight, DEFCON 3, DEFCON 5, whatever. Red alert. Arm shields. Prepare yourselves for shit. And it's coming out, and it's been really, really good. Smart writing. The special effects have been really good for a TV show. Really good. Like, better than you actually thought they were good. I thought they were going to be. The characters have been very interesting and intriguing. And it's just working really well right now. And I can't wait to watch the next episode. I'll probably watch it after I finish this and while I'm editing this, probably. But I'm so happy that I finally got back on. I finally watched the first two episodes of the brand new series of my favorite, and I do mean, guys, my favorite TV show of all time, it's over, I think it's almost 30 years old, if not over 30 years old, and that is Red Dwarf. I absolutely adore that show. It is my favorite show of all time. I can watch every episode anytime I want, and it does not bore me. It really doesn't. It's so good. And the 12th season started last week or the week before, and I've just watched the first two episodes, and I've loved it. I was just like, yes, this is what I needed. And it was just perfect. I just love it. And yeah, I'm so happy with that. Have you been doing any, did you do anything over the weekend? Play anything? Watch anything at all?
I started Evil Within, actually, the very first one. I've been talking about it for a while. And I said that I was thinking about doing it for October, you know, Halloween, or Horror Game of the Month kind of sort of thing. And I did. I really actually like what I've played so far. I think it's actually a very fun game. I don't find it very scary. I do find it tense at times, like, you know, just, but I think that's more of, like, the actual gameplay being tense, as in, like, oh, I don't want to die, you know, kind of sort of thing. Not like, oh my god, that's so goddamn scary, you know, it doesn't really give me that kind of feel. Like, I guess something like maybe Alien Isolation or PT or Outlast did, even though Outlast kind of fizzled out, you know, like, towards the end.
Well, that was a suspenseful ride at the time.
Oh yeah, that's true. No, the very beginning of that game is that's shit your pants territory easily. So I've been playing Evil Within. I also tried to bring back because I'm going to bring it back still. I'm not going to stop. Dark Souls again. Tried to restart that. And unfortunately, OBS decided to be a little shit, and I don't know, just give me a lot of shit again, as it was. And so I had to cancel that stream, but still gonna bring it back because, believe it or not, just a little fucking around that I did in that game, I was like, I forgot that I miss playing this game. And then I watched a few horror movies, actually. I watched a Friday the 13th movie on Friday the 13th. And then I watched another horror movie last night that I still am convinced that it is a perfectly fine, good movie that I actually enjoy. But yet a lot of people seem to completely be like, you're crazy. This movie was a pile of garbage.
What's that, may I ask?
It'll actually be my recommendation, so you're
going to be interested. Especially if it's a film I don't like, I'm going to be like, yeah, you're crazy.
but I will talk about one movie the other movie that I watched, the Friday the 13th movie. So every year, Megan and I watch Friday the 13th movie every Halloween. We don't watch more than one, we just watch one. Just that way we can kind of continue on in the series of it, or, you know, the continuity of it, I guess you would call, even though there's a lot of continuity problems in that damn series. Anyways, we watched Friday the 13th Part 3. It was the one that was kind of filmed in 3D, but not in the 3D that we're used to seeing, where they make the color difference, basically, so that way, you know, you're able to see the actual objects coming forward, you know, at you, or, like, things, like, going around and that sort of light. This was a movie that was filmed, it might have been filmed in actual, like, 3D color differentiation for, like, the actual glasses, but then I'm thinking that it was also filmed in regular, because there are quite a few scenes where, like, all right, take this for example. There's a scene where there's a kid yo-yoing a yo-yo, and while you would think that this would only last for, like, 5 seconds, it goes on for quite some time. This kid yo-yoing a yo-yo, where the yo-yo is coming down at the screen and keeps going back up, keeps going back down, keeps going back up, and it's just over and over again. And then I guess the basically in the same shot, there's supposed to be a girl right underneath him that's supposed to be like, oh, hey, stop, you know, get the yo-yo out of my face, you know, kind of bullshit. And it just kept going, like, and really, I'm going to be honest with you, I think that was the biggest parts of that movie that I really, really didn't care for, was just every time they want to insert some 3D bullshit that was a part of this movie. The rest of it, in its campiness, I completely accept that is Friday the 13th series. Like, I'm like, nope, Friday the 13th is that campy, like, you know, not very smart kids dealing with, you know, a relentless, basically, killer, you know, in and of itself. And I wouldn't mind that. I think it would actually been a better movie if they took the 3D stuff out, and I would have been like, I'm actually okay with this one. I don't know if that's the reason why most people don't really care for the third one, because I've heard that not a lot of people are crazy about it. But I personally like it better because the story is in a whole better than the second one, because in the second one there's a huge plot hole that I think that everyone, not everyone forgets, but not everyone, like, I guess remembers it. I guess they just accept two for what it is, because two is Baghead Jason, and I think it's the only time that Jason has a bag on his head. Like, it's actual, like, sackcloth kind of sort of thing. Mm. And I wouldn't have cared about, like, the whole Baghead Jason thing. I wouldn't have cared about, like, the actors, like I normally don't do. But it really bugged me how it ended, because there was a huge plot hole, and I'm just like, wait, does no one else see this? Like, am I crazy? There's something completely missing here that shouldn't have been missing, because it doesn't make sense why it was missing, kind of sort of thing. I'm not going to spoil it for any of you, because you should probably watch the Friday the 13th movies. No, they're not all great. So far, I think the first one's the best one. But then again, I haven't seen all 15 of them, or however many there are. No, there are 10. That's right, because it goes to Jason X, I guess.
Nothing wrong with Jason X.
No, even in it.
That's so bad, and yet it's so awesome.
Yeah, it's so bad that it's awesome. So, watch Friday the 13th Part 3, and I officially think that it's better than 2. I do. That's really what I've been doing for my weekend, just playing Evil Within 2 and watched a few horror movies.
Very nice. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, this podcast drops every Thursday, not Thursday, Thursday, every Tuesday and Friday on youtube.com/MrMoodyReviews and on SoundCloud and iTunes under The Glorious Movies Cast. And before we get to the movie news, like I said, guys, I have 3 reviews to get through to you. And I'm going to start from worst to best. This is going to be very intriguing. Worst movie of the three. Kingsman and the Golden Circle.
What? Okay.
Kingsman and the Golden Circle is directed by Matthew Vaughn and stars a whole great line of cast. You've got Taron Egerton, Mark Strong, Julianne Moore, Colin Firth returning, Michael Gambon, Channing Tatum, Jeff Bridges, the whole shebang. Great set of cast here. And what this film is, basically, is a music video throughout.
Really?
Yeah, it's... I didn't like it. I really, really did not like it. I just thought... I'll say one thing that I the worst thing about in the this is the thing about it, and this is what pissed me off even more. The worst thing in this movie was the best thing in the first movie, and that's Colin Firth.
Oh, okay.
The reasoning of how he is alive is just doesn't work for me. I thought it's really, really bad. I was just like, oh god, that's nah, doesn't work. No, guys, sorry. No. And I understand why he was acting how he was in the film. It didn't work. And I really, really found him off-putting. And I found him just irritating as hell. And I was just like, no. Then you get to the second worst thing. And this is a funny thing. The top two things that are the worst thing about this movie are both Oscar-winning actors and actresses. And that's Julianne Moore. Moore as the second worst thing. She is over the top. She is wrong in so many ways of how she does things. Her lines are cheesy. She acts it. I just don't know. She was just really, really bad in the movie. I didn't like her. And she has stupid robot dogs. And I was like, no. Everything about, like, they even brought back one of the kind of villains from the last film, and I was just like, for me, the whole film...
Do they bring back the girl with the legs?
No, she's dead.
Okay, okay, that's what I was wondering. I was like, she's dead, dead. Like, yeah, no way that she can come back.
She's dead. You do see her in the movie, but they're dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But spoiler alert. And it just it didn't seem like they had any idea where to go with the movie. Like, the whole thing of where they blow, where it shows in the trailer, the Kingsman is attacked, all that, that's fine. They literally wipe out the entire cast, basically, from that last movie, apart from Taron Egerton and Mark Strong. Guys, I'm not spoiling it, it's in the trailer. Mark Strong doesn't seem right in the movie as well. He seems out of place. He has a kind of a fun scene at the end. I'm just like, oh no, it just didn't work. And Taron Egerton, yeah, everything how great about the last movie. The last movie was a rock on spy movie with an edge to it, but it was fast paced. This film is non stop, 1,000 miles per hour. It's literally about 1,000 miles per hour. You literally do not breathe throughout the entire movie. It's no slow moment. And yet the film is over two hours long, and it felt 3 hours long. And that's how it does. There's parts in this movie you could literally rip out of the movie. Jeff Bridges is completely wasted. Channing Tatum is completely wasted.
Halle Berry,
why she's even the villain, she's completely wasted. There's so many people who are completely wasted in this movie. It's unbelievable. And they tried to bank on the chemistry and the interaction, how popular their characters were with Eggsy and Colin Firth's character Harry in the last film. They tried to go along with that again, but because Colin Firth's character was so more weird than it was last time, it really, really didn't work. And the ending, I thought, was really bad. I was just like, why? It just seems like they were cramming so much in. They didn't need to. They decided to say, okay, we need to step back for one moment here. No, that does not need to be in it. It could have literally pulled 20 minutes out of this movie, and it probably would have been a lot more fine-tuned and smooth. And oh my god, Elton John never be in a movie ever again. Seriously, never be in a movie again, dude. He was, and it just seemed like it was a pops. It seemed like it was a giant song. Basically, throughout the movie, they threw in songs for no reason at all, just because they thought it worked in the last one. Because it worked in the last one, it was fresh and something new, and the songs actually seemed like they worked with the moment. The songs in this movie did not work with the moment in each part. And it just, I was just like, no. And I'm so annoyed.
Go answer
your question.
So how do you feel, like, because I actually really, really like the choreography and the actual, like, the breakdown of the fight scenes in the first one. Like, I actually felt like they were all, even though some were a bit fantastical, it seemed also a little bit tangible at the same time. How did you feel towards the fight scenes in this one?
Some of it seems like how you fought from the first movie. Some of it also seems like, what the fuck?
Really? Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
They go a little too far to the left for me. They go too far, and it just didn't work one bit, and I'm really, really disappointed in this. There are some fun parts. I won't talk. The opening sequence is really, really, really good. The action is really well done in that opening sequence. And like I said, there are a couple of action sequences that are reasonably well done. Arguably the best character, but because of how it ends, ruins his character at the same time. And I'm trying to find him here.
Is he one of the statesmen?
Yes, he's one of the statesmen. He's the guy with the whip. Manners, maker. It's him.
I can never remember his name, unfortunately.
That Netflix show.
Narcos.
Narcos, thank you very much. That Netflix show. He's on that. And he's brilliant in that. He's in, like, I think the third or fourth season of Game of Thrones, and he was brilliant in that as well. And he's good. He is good. But because of how is what happens with his character, by the end of it, you're just like, no, it didn't work. And I was just like, how can you spoil a good character? How? You just don't do that. And it's just so wrong in so many ways. And yeah, I give Kingsman the Secret Service a 4 out of 10. It's average. It's a below average movie that... Thankfully, I'll always remember the first one. Thankfully, I love the first one. The first one's amazing. And I always will have the first one. Matthew Vaughn, every director has a stinker. Well, he's your stinker, mate.
Fair enough.
Next movie on the list is... This is no surprise. Lego Ninjago movie is... It's got a great cast. I can't deny that. It has Jackie Chan, Dave Franco, Michael Peña, Zach Woods, the whole...
That cat wasn't so bad, was it?
Let me finish my review, okay? This movie is... It's... Okay. It's a kids movie. It's made for kids. There's no doubt about that. The whole thing, like, right from the beginning, how everything begins, it's for kids movie. Which is disappointing because... The first Lego movie is not a kids movie. There are jokes in that are not for kids. And it's very well done. The Lego Batman movie, same thing. This one, it's because the TV show is a kids show. They made the show basically into the film, basically. And that's what they've done. It's not a problem. There's some enjoyable moments. The cat thing is stupid. But there's some enjoyable moments. The voice work throughout the entire movie, I can't knock it one bit. Jackie Chan's funny in it. Dave Franco has some funny lines as well. And Michael Peña is pretty decent as well. No, it just... This movie's not for me. It was never going to be. Especially after I saw that second trailer, I was just like, this is a full-on kids movie. That's disappointing. I'm still holding out for a great animated film this year. We still haven't got that. We'll see what happens. I give the Lego Ninjago movie a 5 out of 10. It's an average movie, just for kids, simple, easy, nothing more for anyone to talk about, basically, for this one. Now, the best movie out of the three, by miles, and I'm so happy about this, Wind River. Directed by Taylor Sheridan, and stars Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. Jeremy Renner is a poacher. He goes out and he's a tracker, so he's a veteran tracker with the Fish and Wildlife Services. Helps to investigate the murder of a young Native American woman who he knows the family, and uses the case as a means to seek redemption for an earlier act of irresponsibility, which ended in tragedy for his life. Their life in his world. This movie is so well shot, so well acted. This is the best you've seen Jeremy Renner in years, and I do mean years. Not that he does a crap job in the Marvel movies or anything, but this is something he could truly put his grit teeth with, and he was absolutely splendid in the movie. Elizabeth Olsen does a really good job here. I'm loving what she did here. She did a really, really well done job. The Native Americans throughout, all of them, did a fantastic job. They were well done, well acted by every single person. The story is a heartbreaking story on Jeremy Renner's character's side, but also with the murder they're investigating. It's just heartbreaking, especially when you find out how everything happens and you're just like, oh my god, by the end. And I was just like, but it also gives you a moral thing of that, oh, should you actually do this? Yes, you should actually do this. Like, your moral compass kind of gets challenged for me, it did anyway. I was just like, yes, you gotta do this. But then I was driving on the way home and I was just like, damn, should you have actually done this and everything? And it was just so well done. It's very fast paced. It seems like it could be it seemed like it was going to be a slow movie. But by the end, I was just like, whoa, this is over? Damn, that was fast. And I don't mean that in a bad way whatsoever. Yeah. That's how good the movie was. I was enthralled throughout all of it. The sound effects by everything worked so well. The shots, the cinematography, everything was so good in this movie. I love this movie. It was so good. It's a refreshing thing to hear that this murder mystery thriller has been so critically loved by the critics and everything. But then, because last week we heard that The Snowman came out, is out, and that's getting critically panned by everybody, to know that this one came out before and it's got universal love for the most part, I'm so happy I saw this one. I will eventually see The Snowman, but this one is absolutely breathtaking. I recommend The Wildlands, Wind River. anytime, guys. If it's still in your theaters, it's on its final week over here in the UK, in my area, on the cinema I go to anyway. I've been told by a friend who works at the cinema I go to. But if it's still in your area, in America or in the UK, go and see Wind River. It is a pleasant surprise that you will not be disappointed in for me. I give Wind River an 8 out of 10.
Wow.
It is that good, guys. It really, really is good. It's a fair... There were a couple of things that I would have changed about it, but other than that, I won't change much about it at all. So, fair play to this film. It's well done. And Jeremy Renner, I don't think he'll get nominated, but he should get nominated for an Oscar for this performance. He is so good in it. He oozes awesomeness in this movie. He's that well done. Elizabeth Olsen, again, fair play to her. She does a fantastic job as well.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this movie. I'm not gonna lie. I've been interested, you know, since the trailer. But it's good to actually know that coming from someone's opinion, you know, that I trust. It is a good movie, as everyone else has been saying about it. It gives me more confidence to actually try to go see this in theater. So yeah, I'm gonna go try as best I can to actually go see this.
If it's still there, give it a chance, mate. Honestly, you won't be disappointed. And forget about the Golden Circle.
Okay.
It's all subjective. Right. If you do see that and you enjoy it, good for you. But I hate that. I was really disappointed in it. I didn't like it one bit.
That's fair. For loving something that was, you know, from the first one that was really, really well handled, to see something like this just kind of fall apart. It's disheartening, you know, and it's depressing, you know. But it is what it is.
It's, for some reason, and I didn't think this because I'm pretty sure they had like 3 years, I might be wrong here, to get this movie sorted, but it seemed like it was rushed.
Really?
I don't know why. It just seemed, like I said, the whole film is like 1,000 miles per hour, mate. Mm-hmm. It's non-stop. It never slows down, and I was just like, nah. Well, guys, that's it for the movie reviews from the Glorious Movies cast. Like I said, Wind River, 8 out of 10. Kingsman: The Golden Circle, a 4 out of 10. And the Lego Ninjago movie, a 5 out of 10. An average movie, good for your kids, though. But with great visuals. I forgot to say that in the review, but the Lego Ninjago movie's visuals are fantastic. I can't deny that. If it was just on visuals alone, it would be a 10 out of 10 for the Lego Ninjago movie. I won't deny that. Now let's move on to the movie news, guys, and let's start with a couple of trailers. Marvel Studios have dropped a new trailer for the highly anticipated Black Panther, directed by Ryan Coogler, who directed Creed, from a screenplay he co-wrote with Joe Robert Cole. The film stars Chadwick Boseman as the titular superhero T'Challa, first introduced in Captain America: Civil War, fantastic movie, go and see that when you get a chance, who returns home to the isolated and advanced nation of Wakanda in the wake of his father's death to assure his rightful place as king. Matters are complicated when a powerful old enemy appears and his place on the throne is put into question. Foxes, you and me have seen the trailer. What did you think of the new trailer for Black Panther, mate?
So, the first trailer that we saw, that was actually pretty good. I thought it was pretty surprising, and I thought that it was, in and of itself, awesome. Like, I actually really, really liked the first trailer, because whether it's just showing off the Black Panther's moves, or whether it's showing off his suit, or it's giving you a little bit of Wakanda, and the mountain, it was an awesome trailer. Somehow, I don't know how, but they decided to keep that exact same feeling, at least for me, in this one. Except making it that much better. And I literally don't know how the fuck they did that. Well, I think I have a few viewpoints that I can tell from like a visual standpoint how they made it better. But feeling wise, it's not like I'm lost. I just can't pinpoint the feeling that I get from this trailer and the first trailer. I want to label it as excitement, but I can't. It's better than that in a way. So I'm gonna quit stumbling. The first thing the trailer does a really good job on is giving you a little bit of Black Panther and showing you a little bit of his moves, you know, and showing you the characters that's going to be a part of it, and little few, you know, tiny clips of different scenes of like fight scenes that you know, just that much enhance the fighting style that the Black Panther has. Somehow this trailer decides to take all that. It's like, yep, we're going to take those fight scenes, we're going to take those characters, we're going to take that cool suit you saw, and we're going to make it all that much better just in this one trailer. And I'm like, wait, how can you... I see what you did there. They made this dude and his suit and his enemies and their suits and his weapons and their weapons and their technology and his technology that much fucking cooler, just being like, by the way, we're already powerful enough, but let's go superpower. And then just fucking like wreck shop, like whether it's his own purple ability, which I actually think is a perfect touch, because like Black Panther has always had that kind of like purple hue to it, you know, especially to like even to his own suit, especially in the comic books. Like, I don't know many comic book, Black Panther, like, comic books, but the few images and or panels that I have read, I've always felt like his suit was so dark that it could be, like, you know, like, there was almost, like, a little bit of purple irradiating from it. So I think that the fact that they decided to go with that personal choice for what they did with the suit in the trailer, oh, that was perfect. Like, I'm like, you know what, that's really cool. I'm just going to step away from this one and be like, fair play. Now just give me the damn movie. Just give me the damn movie. I didn't know that they could top the other trailer, but for me personally, this trailer is better than the other trailer. and they're both really, really good. I don't know what it is about these trailers that has me so excited for this character that I don't know much about. I know more about Wakanda than I know about Black Panther, the character himself. I mean, I know, like, who he is, what he does, you know, how he fights, you know, the kind of, like, surface-level things, but not not very much about his personality and, like, you know, all of his emotions. I know a little bit, you know, from, obviously, dealing with his father, but I'm excited for this movie, Moody. Like, I am legit excited for it. I'm not going to lie.
The cast and director and everything completely, like, make you go, oh my god, and everything for the movie. Mm-hmm. It really does that. That alone excites me and everything. They mm-hmm. really do a fantastic job. The trailer, I will say, is better than the last one. No doubt about that. The first one I did enjoy, but there was a couple of CGI parts, especially the end one, I thought it was like, oh, that was way too CGI. It was just like, didn't work. They ironed that out perfectly in this trailer. The trailer CGI work is absolutely fantastic. But I don't know why, though. I am not hyped for this.
Really?
I do not know why. I enjoyed what I saw. Everything seemed better. And yet, I am not dancing on the rooftops going, give me this movie now, give me this movie now, you know?
I'm up there. I have my tap dance shoes on right now. I don't know why, but I am.
I'm not tap dancing. I do not know why. It's weird. It's really, really weird. I don't know why, because I loved the character in the Civil War, mm-hmm. I thought he was brilliant in it. He was introduced perfectly. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I'm just like, eh? I don't know why. That's I enjoyed fair. The trailer. But I'm just, I have zero hype for this movie right now. I do not know why. I love the cast. I love the director. I love the writer. I love the screen cinematography. I love everything about it. But I'm just like, I'm not excited for this movie for some reason. I don't know if it's because they took too long to get you hyped for this movie, because this movie was meant to come out this year. And because because of the Spider-Man deal, that was pushed back to this, because this Black Panther was meant to come out the date that Thor Ragnarok's coming out this month or next month, and everything. So everything was pushed for some reason, and I don't know why. I'm just not... Well, I know why it was pushed, because of Spider-Man. You're going to push everything, push it all out of the way for Spider-Man. Especially for how great that movie was. But I was just like... I'm just like... I don't know why I'm not hyped for this. I don't know why. Because everything was right for the trailer. Everything about the trailer, what a trailer's job is to do is get you excited for the movie. I'm not excited, though. I do not know why. I don't know. I don't know if it's because, like I said, I think they waited maybe too long. I do not know.
Fair enough.
And I'll tell you that. By the time I see the movie, I'm always going to be like... Thank God I was stupid and I enjoyed this movie.
You know you're going to be in theater like, okay, this is an awesome fucking movie and I should have been excited since the beginning.
Yeah, probably. Too right. No doubt about that. No doubt about that by a mile. Probably. Hopefully. I don't know. It's not putting its hands down my pants and having a good rummage. And that's what I want for a trailer to do. And it hasn't
been. Fair enough. I'll admit his purple glow, you know, not trying to spoil anything for the people who haven't watched the trailer yet. You should go watch the trailer. Have your own opinion for sure. That got me excited. That put something down my pants. It was like, ooh.
I got something purple down my pants. That's what he said. Purple down my pants.
Because what I also really liked about this was that they showed you the ending of the first trailer. It was just like, we're going to show it to you, but we're going to give you a different ending. And this one's just as exciting. And it was just like, and that's what it did for me. Like, I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Oh, yeah, I want more purple goodness inside my pants.
Someone hashtag that to folks. Please hashtag.
Please do. I want something in my pants. On my Twitter for forever.
Purple something in my pants. So wrong in so many ways. Let's move on to our next trailer, guys. And that is the first teaser trailer dropped online last week on Friday, showing off the very first look at 20th Century Fox X-Men spin-off New Mutants, directed by A Fault of Our Stars helmer Josh Bonnie?
Yeah, I think so.
Bonnie? The movie stars Anya Taylor-Joy, Marissa Williams, Charlie Heaton, Alice Braggin, Henry Zagat, and Blue Hunt, that's an interesting name, Blue Hunt. The trailer dropped and everything, guys. Foxes, what did you think of the New Mutants trailer?
It
did not blue it, thingies, did it? Or purple thingies?
No, it had no purple goodness in my pants. So it's not a bad trailer. I'll say that right off the bat. It's not bad. Like, it does... It's supposed to convey what they've been telling you from the beginning, that it's going to be a horror-like mutant movie. And I can see the horror tropes. Like, I don't want to call them tropes, but that's just the only term I can come up with right now. I see the horror tropes, and I'm like, oh, okay, so yes, this is going to be like a horror movie. Although, I will say one thing, there's something about horror movie tropes that if you don't get it right, it will not pay off. And I mean not in a sense of like, oh, the cinematography has to be right. Oh, the music for this moment has to be right, you know, in these horror tropes. Oh, there might have to be actually a surprise factor. Like, there are so many things if you're going to use classic horror movie tropes that you want your audiences to actually jump or go, you know, kind of sort of thing, like gasp, I don't feel like this movie's going to nail that, because what I got the feeling from the trailer was this isn't going to be very scary. Like, the mood and the setting and the genre of it, I guess you would say, feel like it's horror. Like, it's supposed to be in that horror genre. I don't feel like, however, it's going to be a scary horror movie. And I feel like that's what they want to try to do with you. But from what I get from the trailer, I just didn't get that. Like, I actually did not jump. I didn't go, I didn't do anything from the trailer. It didn't even really pique my interest. I'm going to be completely honest with you. And it's not because I don't see anything with the characters. It's not because I don't like any of the characters. It's not because, you know, I'm not interested in this. Like, because I am. Because I do want to know about these mutants. I want to know what they can do. I want to understand how they solve, I guess, this part of their existence, so to speak. But what the feeling I got from the trailer was just, I mean, I'm going to come out and say it, and this is going to be kind of blunt and it's kind of mean, but that's just how I really feel. I felt half-assery on that trailer, wholeheartedly. I felt like everything was being half-assed in front of me. Sure, some of the effects look kind of cool. Sure, so, like, some of the mutants are doing mutant things because that's the whole point. But I didn't really feel any genuineness, lack of a better term, while watching this trailer. That could completely change when the movie comes out. Like, if I go see this movie in theaters, which I probably will, unless it really, really bombs, and then I'll just save my money, I'm not excited for it. I'll go ahead and say it right now. And I said, when they were first talking about it, doing a horror movie, a mutant horror movie, I'm like, we'll see when the trailer comes out, and I'll see if I'm excited then. My response is, I'm not very excited.
It's intriguing. Yeah, it's going straight for the horror. No doubt about it, like they said they were going for. Yeah, none of it scared me. I won't deny that. But I was intrigued, I won't lie. And like we said on the previous, when we were talking about the Black Panther trailer, the job for a trailer is to pique your interest or get you excited for the movie. It piqued my interest, I'll give it that. I was not interested in this movie whatsoever because I had no idea what the hell it was. I was just like, X-Men horror movie? And I was like, alright, it could work. And I was just like, alright. But I was intrigued throughout the entire trailer. I don't think it's a overwhelmingly fantastic trailer, I'll say that, but it did its job. I am intrigued. Could it bomb like shit? Hell yeah, it could. But who knows? It really does. I'm not entirely sure if what's what here. Like, I don't know any of the characters. Mm-hmm. I think one of them's called Sunspot, because he or she was in X-Men Days of Future Past, I believe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was a guy who burnt his head. Mm-hmm. Set his head on fire or whatever. Yeah. Him. Mm-hmm. But it's a completely different character or different actor now for this one. I'm not entirely sure. But yeah. I'm intrigued. Didn't blow me away. It's so disappointing here. like I was hoping for ball, but it was not. But it dropped out of nowhere. I was just like, whoa, this dropped. Yay, okay, let's have a look. Let's see what's going to be. And I was just like, okay, you intrigued me, but is that really it? But it's a teaser.
Yeah.
It is a teaser. It's not the full-blown trailer. I'm guessing the full-blown trailer probably won't come until probably the beginning of the year now. I can't see him dropping another one at the end of the year. They might drop a TV. Probably Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That'll be the main aim, I bet. That'll be when the full trailer drops, the Super Bowl season.
I will say one thing. They have room that they could impress me. That they could, or maybe impress is a little bit too strong, could excite me or intrigue me. I don't feel like I got any feeling from this. Now, hopefully they know how to nail that in the next one, because I just, like I said, I didn't take anything away from it. You know, I didn't get any actual feels of like, ooh, I might be a little scared here. Ooh, I might actually like care about this character. I just didn't feel anything from it, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, teach his own.
Completely agree there. Completely agree. Now, guys, let's move it on. We're going to stick with Fox's Marvel news. And now it's 20th Century Fox have finally set a date for the long-delayed Gambit movie. Yeah, that movie no one cares about and everyone. But yeah, Fox is still going to try and throw this out at us. And it's starring still Channing Tatum. The Hollywood Report reports that Gore Verbinski, who we talked about last week, is confirmed too to be directing this movie after reportedly being in early talks, with the release date now set for Valentine's Day 2019. They're trying the Deadpool route.
Yeah, they really are.
They are trying the Deadpool to say, it happened, it's happened there, it worked there, let's throw it in there, and everything. We'll see. Like I said last week, the director intrigues me because I do like the Pirates trilogy, or the Pirates films are a guilty pleasure of mine. He directed the first three. I do enjoy them, especially the first one. I think he could do a good job. We'll see what happens. They got a short on that budget though, because it was reportedly at $150 million. Yeah, about last year, I think they were talking it was $150 million, and they decided, whoa, we got shot that. And they need to shut that right down to give them any chance, guys, to making money on this movie. There's a film out there that is close to a masterpiece. It's the best film of the year by what me and Fox has said. And it's barely making money. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that, guys, again. what do you think about this, Foxes? Does this pique your interest that we are finally going to get a Gambit movie?
I was a little excited back when they were like, hey, we might... And I'm sure I've repeated this, I'm sure, a couple times, and I'm sure you're tired of hearing it just as much as I am. Back when, you know, this was announced, it was like, hey, that could be exciting. I mean, I'm not a huge Gambit fan, but sure, why not? I know the character, I know what he can do, and I know where he's from, you know, I understand his backstory. Sure, we'll see. That was 10 years ago, I think. we'll see. I mean, I'm still going to repeat, I think, the same thing that I said last time. Give me a trailer, and then I'll really see how I feel about it then, because right at this moment, I don't really have much excitement for it. I'm just kind of like, this could be good, this could be cool, I like Channing Tatum, I like the director, but nothing's set in stone, nothing's kind of really, really popped out at me to be like, this could be a really good movie. I mean, sure,
yeah.
you have the director, and you have the actor, but... We've seen many good directors and good actors get in film movies that just really, really just go to pop. But, yeah, we'll see. It really is just still a we'll see for me. You know, I'm glad that it's back on track. I mean, it's been a really long fucking time. So, mm-hmm. About damn time, I guess, really. So, yeah, I guess we'll see.
Don't be worried, Shari, or whatever this says. Let's talk about something interesting. Simon Kinberg and Ryan Reynolds both took to Instagram to announce their respective wraps of the two Fox Marvel films, Deadpool 2 and X-Men Dark Phoenix. Damn, they got these films done fast. Seriously. Wasn't it a few weeks ago that we were talking about Simon Kinberg being the director? And now what? He's done the film already? Damn! Yeah. Must be easy. Who knew directing was that easy, guys?
Yeah, exactly. It just it happens in an instant.
Yeah.
I what was funny, I wanted to add to this was, I follow Ryan Reynolds on Twitter and Instagram and so on and so forth, and he posted on Instagram, he said, just wrap shooting for Deadpool 2, and it really actually kind of took me by surprise. I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't y'all just start on this, a few months ago? Like, wow, okay. All right, well, I'm glad you guys know what you're doing and just, are getting it done. You know, I guess, so to speak. But, don't get me wrong, that also doesn't signify whether it's going to be a good movie or a bad movie. It's just, wow, that was pretty quick. The one thing that I do want to add is that he had this caption for Deadpool 2. And I don't know if it's going to be just called Deadpool 2. But I really hope that this caption is the legitimate subtitle for this movie, because it's fucking awesome. He said, Deadpool 2, colon, a song of fire and ice has wrapped shooting. I hope and swear that this really, really should be the title of the movie. I think it's perfect. I mean, between the two characters that we obviously know that is going to be in this movie, or just Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds, and even if this isn't, like, the real subtitle, but yet they have it on the movie somewhere, I'd love it still that much more. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm excited for both of these movies more than I am excited for the Gambit movie, but I will say Deadpool 2 takes my excitement completely just because of how good Deadpool 1 was. And good for them on wrapping up Dark Phoenix so soon, to be honest with you. Good for them.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere, these ones. Deadpool, I'm not surprised that has wrapped, because I know it's been filming like 2-3 months, and that's what's normal for a film schedule, depending on what True. The film is, basically. But Dark Phoenix, like I say, that was just like, that one came out of nowhere for me. I'm just like, whoa!
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking, like I said, beating a dead horse here, basically, saying the same thing, but we were just talking about Simon Kinberg getting a fucking job, and now he's already wrapped production. Obviously, he's going straight into now pre-production and post-production to get it all edited and whatnot. But Dark Phoenix has a long gestation period, because it's not until November next year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool 2 is, I think that's May. Deadpool 2 is a summer movie, I know that. But Dark Phoenix, I could see hearing going back in for reshoots if they want to polish it and fine tune it a little bit, if they
want
to.
Maybe, yeah, since they have so much time.
Yeah, because they've got that much time. I think that's possibly could hear that. And don't worry, guys, that doesn't mean it's going to be a bad movie.
That's
true. It's just going in to make it better.
and you know what? I'm not going to lie. What could be good for them is that what they could try to do is since they finished shooting, is they can put out a trailer out into the wild and see the reception of it. And if most people aren't really crazy about it, then you're exactly right, Moody. I guess, I mean, granted, it's not always going to be the people's reception to actually push forward for, you know, reshoots or something like that, but it doesn't mean it doesn't help. That something like that, it could be a strong possibility that, you know, like, they put out a trailer or you know, some critics, you know, have seen it and they're just like, you know, and then, yeah, it could either go in for reshoots or people could actually really like it. I'm interested in this movie, at least, you know? I am.
I'm just double checking. So Deadpool 2 is June 1st, 2018.
Okay.
So if that's... So I was thinking we could see the first teaser for Dark Phoenix with Deadpool 2, but they might hold off to Comic-Con. No, Comic-Con will be July, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, which, I mean,
I'm not going to lie, you could see someone in July, yeah.
Yeah, you could see the first teaser for Dark Phoenix with Deadpool 2, and then
maybe
probably a full trailer at Comic-Con. Do they drop it with Comic-Con, or are they just going to show it like for Comic-Con people? Another thing to talk about, but that's either here or there. But I am well done for both the crews again. It all done. Hopefully, the post-production everything goes smoothly for you, and we can get two great films for next year. Now let's move on.
But before we leave this, by the way, tweet at or Insta at I'm not exactly sure what's the term that kids are using these days for Instagram. At Ryan Reynolds saying, please keep the subtitle A Song of Fire and Ice as a part of Deadpool 2.
I don't know if they'll be able to because of rights and everything
Game of
Thrones.
Yeah, yeah.
But if that is the title, that's pretty genius. I won't lie.
Yeah, really.
That's smart. Next, move on to our final movie story, and that is Universal has released the first Red Band trailer for Blockers, the upcoming comedy that stars Lindsay Manor and John Cena. The duo stars parents who spend prom night trying to stop their teenage kid from having sex. Foxes, this dropped literally about half an hour after we finished recording last week for the last Friday's episode.
Yeah.
And I have to come out and say, this is a one hell of a funny trailer.
It really is.
This is the best trailer out of the trailers we've been talking about for me. Because of just how surprising it was. John Cena is batshit crazy in this movie.
I always knew he could be. I'm like, just let the guy loose. Let him loose off of his chain, and this dude will do magic.
Oh, he is. When it comes to WWE and everything like that, he is a charismatic man. He really is. He oozes charisma. He has great mic skills and everything. So we knew he could do all the quick one-liners and everything. And he's really, really funny in the trailer. It's really, really funny. And the ending part, I was just like, oh my fucking God!
I'm going to have to admit, I actually went, huh? Huh. Don't puke, Daniel. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Like, I have to admit, it. I don't know if it was just because I was enthralled in the trailer that it actually got me to kind of like gurgle a little bit, but it was just like, I have to admit, that trailer, that ending part is really fucking funny, but it also made me go, that's kind of gross at the same time. I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
This one came out of nowhere. Fair play. It was just, the trailer was a funny comedy trailer. Hopefully they haven't shown everything, all the funny jokes. Because that can happen sometimes, but this was really funny. Well done. Fair play. I love that because of the words and everything, because the film was originally called Cock Blockers.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't technically have that.
Yep.
But I think it's funny that they're gonna say the hell out of that in the movie, though. Because they even say it in the trailer, let's cock block these fuckers or whatever in the trailer. And I was just like, yes, this is brilliant.
But by the way, I'm not gonna say genius marketing, but it's pretty smart marketing in and of itself. Because they couldn't call it that, they did the next smartest thing. Like, all right, we can't officially title our movie this, but we're gonna do the next best thing. We're gonna actually put a rooster, which, you know, by other terms means a cock, right above the word blockers. So therefore, you know, this movie's basically cock blockers. But we can't call it that. I love it. I actually really like that, and I hope that that's a either one, a poster, which I mean it'd have to be. I mean, if it isn't, it'd be a crying shame. Or like they at least make other posters that, like, you know, pretty much insinuate the same kind of thing. You know, I'm not gonna lie, because I mean it's genius. Like, maybe it's not genius, but it's pretty smart. I really like it. You know, I think it's really good.
It's very well done. Oh, sorry, I yawned there. My apologies. It's very well done. It's just, it came out of nowhere. I was just like, John Cena Renbad trailer. Okay, why the hell? What can this be? And I was laughing my ass off.
It was really funny.
It was so good. I loved, like, the beginning. I'm Dingy. Oh, hi, I'm Dingy. Yeah, that's our day. And I'm her hero. At the beginning, he's like, 20 years later, or 8, 6, whatever years later, he says, I can't even hug my daughter anymore because she's so hot. I was like, what? I can't touch her. No, because it's wrong in so many ways, which is right. But I was just like, oh my God, they're going there.
What I also love is John Cena saying, hey, you know, they just might be, you know, making a pointy finger, just saying, hey, you're okay, you know, kind of sort of thing. And the next thing up, Sex Pack 2017. I mean, he's like, shit. I'm excited for this movie. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little excited.
It was perfect. It was the perfect little trailer. It really was. It got you excited. It made you laugh. It made a film that you had no idea was coming, and you're just like, when is this coming out? When's this funny film coming out? Hopefully it is funny and everything. We'll see what happens. Now, guys, like I said, that was the end of the movie news, but we have one little special news, and that is TV, but if it wasn't this thing, we wouldn't be talking about it. And that is Stranger Things Season 2, the final trailer, dropped last week or over the weekend, and I gotta say, this is a pretty damn good trailer.
Fucking fantastic trailer.
Yeah, it is a great trailer. It was just nailed everything. It got you excited, got made mm-hmm. more mystery, and then mm-hmm. You were just like, oh, yes. Oh, what's this? And I was just like, yep, give me it now. Halloween cannot come fast enough.
Agreed. Agreed. Gonna be completely honest with you. I'm kind of glad I didn't really completely review the first part of Stranger Things, because I said, I really feel like that there's another part to this that I feel like is very, very cohesive, that may even give a different kind of feel than the first one does, and I feel like it would do it injustice if it wasn't reviewed as a whole. Given that said, even though that we've been getting these trailers, you know, the first one that we got was a little bit more mysterious and eerie and a little bit more scary, because that's what they wanted you to feel, but also excited. The second one, giving a little bit more, you know, like just a tiny bit, you know, showing certain characters or showing certain just events that might creep you out, but I guess have you more excited and gearing up for kind of what's to come. This trailer did a very good job of showing you that, not necessarily that I was right, but that I feel like it's kind of true. This second half, that there may be even a third part, which, you know, it's technically not half anymore. But anyways, the second part gives me a different feel than the first part did. The first part felt more scary-ish, more mystery, more eerie, more, oh man, anyone can die kind of sort of thing. Where this one feels like, hey, we're getting ready for a fight of our lives, and this is probably going to be 1, scary, 2, action-y, 3, exciting, and 4, still it's mysteriousness and eeriness, even though I'm pretty sure I just said that already. Anyways, I'm super, super excited for the second half, because I kind of feel like that was their whole purpose in the beginning, was to get you geared, to really get you to understand, you know, kind of the informational things of all of it, while still being scary and mysterious. And this one's like where the fight's going to happen. Like this is where shit's going to get to the nitty gritty kind of sort of thing. And to be honest with you, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. And the fact that Megan had already told me the weekend that it comes out, we're not stopping. We're going to finish it that Sunday, or at least, you know, by that night. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'm pretty damn excited about that. I cannot wait for Stranger Things Season 2. I really can't.
Yeah, this trailer was just a fantastic trailer, and they'll definitely think about it. It got you excited, which we were already excited for the next season. Mm-hmm. To what I know, what the showrunners came out and said, they said, what everyone knows, the first season was Stephen King / Steven Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
For analogy, the next one is / Stephen King / James Cameron / mm-hmm. Terminator / Aliens / That's what it said. That's what what the game out says. It's the Stephen King, James Cameron world next, basically. And I'm just they already got me when they said Terminator. Then they said Aliens. I was like, what?
I know, right? I cannot wait to see this action packedness. And you know what? I still want it to scare me just as much as the first one did. I do want it to do that, and I hope it does. I hope it still has that part of it, you know.
Yeah, it's what on. Yeah, it just it was a great show that came out of nowhere. First, I'll say thank you, Kevin Tiani, who did a review for Out of Lives, who got me to watch that show, because I had no idea it was coming, and I was hearing about things, and I was just like, it doesn't look that good. I was like, and it was when Kevin was on the My Xbox and Me podcast, and he was sitting, he annoyed Fixer, and he says, I wanna do this and say, this is what I recommend. Which was because it wasn't the game, but but I watched it anyway. I was just like, this is so awesome.
The first season is really good.
It's a great season. So if you haven't seen the first season, go and check it out, guys. Definitely,
the second season. I mean, I can't guarantee that you'd like it, but, you know, because everyone has different tastes. But at the same time, if you have any interest in it, from what just Moody said, a minute ago, you know, the first world is very much Stephen King and Steven Spielberg. If that gives you any indication that how good the first season is, then And if you haven't watched it, go watch it. Seriously, go watch it.
Short and simple, if you like our taste, you're probably going to like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you like our taste, that's probably why you're listening. If you're listening to us and you don't like our taste, then I'm not going to lie, why are you listening to us?
I mean, maybe for just opinion, you know, just for a different viewpoint. I mean, which you know what, that's a lot of respect and a lot of fair to you to if listeners, if you are actually out there and you're listening to us, even though you don't like most of the movies that we review, a lot of respect to you. I mean, I give a lot of respect to most of our listeners anyways, because they're listening to us, and I am very, very, very much appreciative of that. Yes. But even if you don't really like the movies that we like, and you still listen, man, props to you. Props to you. Easily.
Blah, 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 blah. If you have a topic or question you would like us to talk about on the show, guys, then email at us at any time at theglorious moviescast@outlook.com, and that is theglorious moviescast@outlook.com. And we have one juicy, glorious email, and that is, hello, I just was wondering, do you think we will ever see a Monsters, Inc. 3? Monsters, Inc. is a classic, and Monsters Universe is highly underrated, in my opinion. Would love to hear your thoughts. Thank you for all you do, Kyle. Well, thank you, Kyle, for this nice little email. Thank you, Kyle. I'll let you go, Foxes, first. What do you think? Do you think we'll ever see a Monsters, Inc. 3?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I actually think that it might come back again. Not to say that it died, but... So, I saw the first one. I liked it. I actually really like the first Monsters Inc. It's cute. It's got good morality. It's got a good you know, message behind it. I saw the first one, and I liked, or not the sorry, saw the first one. Saw the second one, and I like the second one. It does have a problem or two. Like I actually think that there's some things it doesn't really mesh up well with, like, I guess how they set it up for the first one. But I guess it was kind of more so things that they just kind of, like, left out that they didn't feel like. It was like, oh, you know, this isn't, you know, that big of a deal. You know, to really talk about in the first one, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, I still liked it.
You know, the second one was a prequel, right?
Yes. Yes.
Just making sure.
Yeah, but, and see, that's why I had a problem or two with it. It was because it was a prequel, there were some things that they showed in that one that I didn't feel like made an appearance or an occurrence, or at least not made light of in the first one, which is obviously the sequel to the prequel, but even though it's the first one. And it kind of, that's why it made me kind of cock my head and be like, wait, well, how come that wasn't in the other movie, or so to speak, you know, kind of sort of thing. How come they didn't talk about it? But that's neither here nor there, because Monsters University is actually a pretty good movie. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It doesn't have the same kind of message as, like, or an impactful message as, like, the first one did, but I still thought it's a pretty damn good animated movie. And with that said, I think, I think it has room to actually kind of come back a little bit and maybe kind of harness the same kind of, I guess, emotion that they had, you know, behind the first one. So that way they can get, like, a new message across, you know, kind of sort of thing. Because it's been obvious that most Pixar movies really, really likes doing that. They love putting out an animated movie that has some powerful meaning and message behind it. And I don't really felt like I got that from Monsters University. More so that it was just an enjoyable animated movie. And it is a very enjoyable animated movie. So yes, I actually do think that there is room for another Monsters movie. I do.
That's intriguing. I've never liked the Monsters film.
Really?
Never clicked with me. Didn't like Monsters. Fair enough. I was just like, really? Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. Didn't click with me. Yeah, Monsters University completely killed that franchise. No doubt about it for me. One, they took too long. Well, that's kind of unfair to say, because they took 10 years to do Toy Story 3. Mm-hmm. But Monsters, Inc., yeah, I think people did not call for a prequel. They wanted a sequel. Mm-hmm. And they've now took too long. They made a film that nobody wanted, that didn't click with fans or people, and it just didn't work, I don't think, overall. For me, no, it's probably not dead, because this is the company that made a trilogy of Cars movies. Mm-hmm. They, like, come on, they made a trilogy of Cars movies, and...
And then they won, and then they made a Mater movie, didn't they?
No, that was the second one, that's the second one. That's called Cars 2, mate.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Didn't they make, like, a standalone Mater movie or something like that?
No.
I thought they did. Oh, no, I think I think there was, like, a TV show or something. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Possibly.
Yeah, it doesn't
TV
matter.
this is a company that is, all in all, 90% do greatness. I think you could say 90% of their movies are great. I think that's a fair thing to say.
That's fair, yeah.
But when they do stinkers or not that good of a movies, they're noticeable, more noticeable than you think. Because mm-hmm. Finding Dory was just mediocre last year. It was the same bloody movie as Finding Nemo. It really mm-hmm. bloody hell was. And then the end mm-hmm. of that movie was just batshit crazy. And then
I never saw Finding Dory. I didn't, actually.
Don't worry about it. You've seen Finding Nemo, mate. I'm not gonna lie. I have a soft spot for Cars 1. I do enjoy it. But it's still probably the worst of their good films. Probably. Mm-hmm. Well, not probably, is. So, and then they did Cars 2, what was batshit crazy bad. Then Cars 3, what I saw this year, it's alright. It's just like, yeah, that's it. Yeah, great, alright, woohoo, whatever. And then they did, what else? They did Finding Dory. But then they come out and they do Inside Out, what is one of the best animated movies of the last generation, last decade, along with Toy Story 3. And you've got The Incredibles. Like, Incredibles, how long have we been waiting for a sequel to The Incredibles? Out of all the movies you would think deserved a sequel, that is the one that deserved a sequel. Finally, we're getting it. But you would think, my God, why have you took so long? And whatnot. And pray the freaking God that is good, that film. It's got Bad Birds returning for it and all that, and he's co-writing it, and hopefully it is going to be as good. But my God, man, I was really, really... everyone's praying for this to be good, really are. But they've thrown out sequels, like, I don't know why. Like, or prequels or whatever. They've made films that just scratch my head. But... So that's why it makes me think, yeah, we could possibly see a Monsters, Inc. 3. We could see it in 10 years' time, for all we know. And it is a proper sequel to the original and whatnot. And, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it's really weird. Like, I have no... Because of the trailers that have been bad, especially the last one for me, I have no interest. For the first time, I think truly ever, I have no true interest in a Pixar movie, and that was Coco. The trailers just haven't been good for me when it comes to that movie. And I'm just like, wow, where is your imagination? Where's it gone? Where's the guy? I don't know if he's on this movie. He probably isn't because he's not. I don't think he is. And where are the people who helped create, like, Inside Out, Finding Nemo, the Toy Story trilogy, Incredibles, Ratatouille, etc., Up, etc., etc.? Come on, like, where the hell are you? And... I'm crossing my fingers when I see Coco. It's a masterpiece. It's the best animated movie ever made. Probably won't be, but I'm bloody hoping it will be. I'm crossing it out, and I will sing. I will climb to Mount Everest. Okay, I won't climb to Mount Everest. I'll climb to the biggest mountain near me, what's not far away. And that's not high either. And I'll scream from the rooftop saying Coco was a fantastic movie, and we finally got a great animated movie. But it's just really weird right now. They have... This year just seems like they stalled.
Mm-hmm.
Or even last year, they kind of stalled. Because they only threw out Finding Dory. And this year, they've thrown out Cars 3, what no one wanted. No one wanted that at all. And they've thrown out Coco, what has got mixed reception. People are really unsure about it. But because it's Pixar, they're keeping positive and whatnot. But I don't know. But yeah. Thank you, Kyle, for that email. I kind of went on a bit of a... tangent rant there a little bit, but
no,
thank you anyway. Thank you very much, Kyle. Now that's it, guys. We're wrapping up. Let's move on to our final part, and that is what you always know. It's the glorious recommendations. Foxes, what horror film are you recommending for our listeners to go and check out? It's going to be interesting if I've seen this.
So, I don't know if I've talked about this too much on the podcast, but I'm actually a huge Evil Dead fan. I like Bruce Campbell. I like Evil Dead, the original 1981. I like Evil Dead 2, and I also like Army of Darkness. They are, without a doubt, absolutely some of the most campiest, corniest, horny horror movies.
Can't be horny.
Horror movies. Maybe not to date, but they'll always be remembered that way. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think I'm one of the few people who really, really, really likes the, I don't want to call it the remastered, but the remade version, the 2013 Evil Dead. And that's the one I'm recommending, believe it or not. Because I could recommend the classic the Evil Dead, I can recommend Evil Dead 2, I can recommend Army of Darkness. But those are more actually like pure love films because of just of how campy and corny they are versus actually a horror movie that was actually wanted to be a horror movie. So when the very first Evil Dead came out, they wanted to make a legitimate horror movie. But unfortunately, their funding went under. They didn't have much time left, and to be honest with you, what they had started turning the movie into was a little bit over the top. Actually, it wasn't even a little bit over the top. It was over the top. Over the top, very gory for the time, very...
yeah, gory for the time, that's the word.
Yeah, gory for the time, very kind of, I don't want to call it slapsticky, but there are claymation moments in the classic Evil Dead, like no joke, there's legit claymation in that movie that kind of goes, I don't feel like it doesn't go unnoticed, but I think people forget, they're like, oh yeah, there is claymation in that movie. And I'm going to be honest with you. For Sam Raimi to come back with Fede Alvarez, he wasn't a part of the classic Evil Dead. Let's go ahead and set that apart right now. Fede Alvarez, who is the director, also the also part of the writing credits, but also Sam Raimi, who did the original The Evil Dead, came back to help him with this movie. So it's obvious that he still, at the same time, Sam Raimi was like, no, I actually did really want to make a horror movie, but I'm also glad that I have turned what is now like a cult following into even now a popular cultural thing into the franchise that it is. You know, he doesn't shy away from it, but at the same time, he still always wanted to make his horror movie. So they came back to actually do this one. And the big problem that I'll say with this movie... that you kind of have to turn your brain off to kind of enjoy this movie. And that's sad, because you should never have to turn your brain off for any movie to have an enjoyable. But if you want to understand where this movie is set, I guess is kind of set, like as far as the setting or the character progression, I guess you would call it, is that the characters are kind of dumb. And they ignore certain things, they kind of make certain decisions, they're like, why would you do that? That doesn't go without it being the possibility of it actually being, I guess you would call it, still an okay made film, because at the end of the day, the way I look at this film is that it's a movie made in 2013, that has the premise, the character arcs, character arcs, that of a still 1980s movie, like that of Friday the 13th, or even The Evil Dead. They still play the kind of the dumb human beings, that's being a part of this whole demonic kind of possession. But if you can get past that, it is not only one a extremely horrific and gory movie that really outdoes the first one, and actually well acted at some places. And yes, I stand by that. Some people are like, there's some actors that are just complete garbage, and whatever, I don't care. This is my own personal opinion. Some well acting actually in it, and amazing. I mean completely amazing prosthetical effects. Because I'm not going to ruin a scene for you, but there is one scene that doesn't really it doesn't shoot away too much, because they want you to understand how horrific, how gross, and how shocking that it's supposed to be. That one scene in this movie, you still uses practical effects, and it almost doesn't seem like it. It doesn't almost seem like it, because you would think that there would be CGI there. But if you take a really, really close pay attention, you'll notice that it was practical effect the entire time. That setting aside, the ending does end not at all like the way the first Evil Dead ends. I'm gonna go ahead and spoil that for you, because if you're expecting Bruce Campbell to pop his head out and be like, "I'm here to save the day," it's not that movie at all. It is the horror movie that they were trying to make in the very first one, and it has its own horror ending. That's what I'm going to say about it. And whether it's Mia, who is Jane Levy in the movie, the actress Jane Levy, who gives a really, really great demonic performance, or even actually just the sheer nature of the relentless force of that of a demonic possession movie that doesn't decide to wait for you, like, to just kind of, I guess, like, oh, how is it going to figure out a way to counteract this? It's like, nope, it's going to get in your face, it's going to be gross, and it doesn't give a shit. It really doesn't. And for that, I give it my recommendation and the props for a actually pretty good horror movie. It's not amazing, it's not great, but it's pretty good. And I recommend it for that.
So what did you recommend? Because you spoke a lot there.
Evil Dead. Wow, Moody. Wow, dude.
I'm just being mean.
Evil Dead 2013.
No, I have not seen that, so I can't comment on it.
Fair enough.
For me, it's quite simple, just because I've been listening to the music and soundtrack of it over the last weekend. Best animated movie last year, Your Name. I'm picking that as my pick, film to pick. It's coming out soon on Blu-ray next month. I'm buying that straight away. Me and my partner have already said we're buying that straight away, and we can't wait to re-watch that movie. The music is just absolutely breathtaking. The everything about that movie is just so good. And to think that this is I spoke to a friend of mine, and he says, "Dude, the Lego Batman movie was awesome this year. It's like, that's the best animated movie this year." Yeah, it's a good animated movie. It's not a great animated movie. Last year we had 4 or 5 great animated movies, like spectacular animated movies, and we haven't had one this year. And Your Name was the crowning jewel of that last year for me. Like, we had, like, Zootropolis, Moana, Kubo and the Two Strings, and to think that Your Name outclassed them all was amazing for me. And, yeah, Your Name, man, like, seriously. When you get a chance, guys, seriously see that movie. It's one of the best movies. I'm saying movies. It's one of my favorite. It's in my top 10. Of best movies of my personal opinion of all time. I really adore this movie. It's in my top 10. No doubt about that. I just I couldn't believe how emotional it was, how great everything it was about it. Like, I cannot wait to get a hold of this. So you got the batshit crazy Evil Dead, and you've got one of the best movies, animated or not, films out there, Your Name, to go and check out, guys. They're like, you'll love them. You'll love both of them. Possibly. I don't know. I haven't seen Evil Dead. I've never seen any of them, I won't lie.
Really?
I've never seen any of them, because the character... Yeah,
if you don't want to be scared at all, you might as well watch the first one, because that's the cult, you know, popular one.
Well, I don't care about crazy
and very campy. It's exactly that, you know.
I'll say I don't care about scared or not. I just care about a good film and whatnot.
Oh, it's not a very well made film either. Oh but...
God! See, guys, he drones on a lot, and I've kind of switched off a lot. So if he said any of that before in the first half when he was talking, tell me in the Twitter or something like that. I'm sorry, I love you really, boss.
what's the point of recommendation if I don't give you why I recommend it, you know?
No, I agree. I'm literally pulling your leg. It's unbelievable.
I know.
Well, that's it, guys, for the 52nd episode of the Glorious Movies Cast. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Foxes, again, thanks again for joining me. Have you got anything you want to plug for the listeners?
The same thing I do every time, Moody, and that's taking over the world with Redbearded Fox on Twitter, Twitch, and yes, still Instagram.
Why did you sound like... Have you watched 50 Shades of Grey?
No. Just, you know, mixing it up like I always do.
That's weird. I don't know what to say now.
Stay glorious!
Oh, we haven't plugged yet. Piss off. That came out wrong. That came out so wrong in so many ways. For me, guys, you can check out youtube.com/MrMooneyReviews. Go and join the Facebook page of the Glorious Movies Cast when you get a chance. Join it and all that. Do all the gloriousness there. My personal Twitter is Mr. DM Moody. And if you want to join the Glorious Movies Cast Twitter page, that is the Glorious Movies. Anything that we tweet on the Glorious Movies one, it's normally what we're going to be talking about on the podcast itself. So it gives you a little hint of what we're going to be talking about and everything in the future. Again, Foxes, thank you very, very much, mate. And as always, guys, stay glorious.